الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وفي السماء رزقكم وما توعدون صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous, countless blessings that He is bestowing upon us. And we ask Allah ta'ala to give us the ability to recognize these blessings and then to make shukr for them and use them in a manner that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest treasures anybody can possess is this, that he has got confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word confidence in Arabic, it means i'timad, i'timad. I'timad means to have confidence in somebody. Now, to understand the confidence in Allah ta'ala, let us first understand the term confidence in our situation. So when we speak of confidence, then we also translate it many times as a tawakkul, as trust upon Allah. We also say reliance upon Allah. We also say faith upon Allah. But we'll explain certain incidents or certain matters which will let us understand what is confidence and how we can inculcate confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we all say we believe in Allah ta'ala and we turn to Allah ta'ala. We speak about, last week we spoke about getting the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The previous week we spoke about the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these are the beautiful things that we are supposed to inculcate. So now when we speak of confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that we, without any doubt, without any hesitation, put our full trust in Allah in whatever matter it might be, and we don't turn back. So it is, like I said, it's called faith, it's called yaqeen, it's called iman, it's called any of these things. Now to understand that, let's go to our own examples. So somebody goes to a doctor. He says, I go to a doctor. So, and another person doesn't go to their doctors. So why are you going to a certain doctor? He says, because that doctor, I got faith in him, I got confidence in him. The same doctor, somebody else says, nah, that doctor, hey, I don't waste time with him. So this person got confidence in the doctor. So when he goes to the doctor, he knows that I can place my confidence, he's going to treat me. Obviously, we know Shifa is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he goes to the doctor. When he goes there, he doesn't ask the doctor, so where did you qualify? And how many years did you study? And what courses did you do? And this medication that you are now prescribing, where does it come? Which pharmacy, which pharmaceutical company, or which pharmacist has prescribed that this particular medicine can be for this condition? And all other kinds of things. Why this medicine? Why not that medicine? So he doesn't start interrogating the doctor. He goes there with full confidence, and whatever the doctor tells him, he comes away. Doctor said so, finish, khalas. Doctor said, don't eat this, eat that, don't do this. Doctor said so, finish, khalas. And the same other example we can give also when it comes to our mechanic. You go to a mechanic, so you say, that mechanic, I have full confidence, he sorts it out. Another person will say, that mechanic, I don't go anywhere near him. So again, one person got confidence in one mechanic. When you go there, you have full trust, he'll find your problem, he'll sort it out, and he'll put the part that is needed there, and you got trust in him. And the same can go with the student and the teacher also. When a person goes to a particular teacher to acquire knowledge, then he has got confidence in whatever the teacher is saying. And he doesn't question the teacher, he asks the questions, and whatever the teacher says him. The same with a sheikh and a murid. A person goes to the sheikh, and the sheikh tells him, do this and do that, and don't do this, read the zikr, whatever it might be, because he has gone for a purpose, he's got a lot of confidence in that particular sheikh. So these are confidences. So once the sheikh says something, then he has to accept it implicitly. He can't say, no, sheikh, you told me this, I don't. One person went to the sheikh, person who I know. He went to go take bay'ah to one person, one sheikh. So this brother was a jamaat brother, he should go regularly in jamaat. So then, the first thing the sheikh told him, he must stop going in jamaat. The man got a shock of his life. I mean, such a pious person, and he's never known to be opposed to the work or anything. So now he's wondering, why did the sheikh stop me? And the Sheikh said, you must do the following things, this, this, and this, but Jamaat, you don't go in. Now, this man was a passionate man about the Jamaat. Imagine now, Ismail Bey, the Sheikh tells you, you mustn't go in Jamaat. The man was like stunned. And then he kept his taluk with the Sheikh, but the thing was always worrying him. Then after a couple of years, the Sheikh told him, now you can go in Jamaat. That time I stopped you from going because there were certain qualities in you that if you had to go, it would have made you even worse. And you would have transferred those qualities onto other people. You were going to go that time in Jamaat with a different attitude. Now you go with a proper attitude approach because you have now been purified in class. Now you are fit to go to Jamaat. So in other words, for his own good, he was told not to go to Jamaat. So in the same way, a lot of other things, doctor tells us, don't go there, don't eat this. Someone will say, but this is healthy. The doctor knows why he is telling you, don't eat a certain thing. So this is what we speak about, having confidence in the people around us. All of us, alhamdulillah, majority of the Muslims, they follow mazhab. We make what's called taqlid. Most of the people, they are those people who say they don't follow the mazhab, but they're also following somebody who's following the hadith. So in either case, we're not going to that discussion. But without question, we say, I am following a certain imam, and according to his mazhab, this is to be done in this particular way. I don't question him because he has got the knowledge. He has gone into the depth of the knowledge, the background of the hadith, and what was the intention of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say these words, why now the Sheikh has said we should make that part of our mazhab. So basically, confidence will then mean that a person without any question, without any hesitation, he got full confidence, he got full satisfaction, and he got peace of mind and heart that what I'm doing according to the instruction of the person, I am okay with it. He does not lose confidence. Now, for our connection with Allah Ta'ala, and for our journey of salvation, we are supposed to inculcate the same beautiful quality of confidence in Allah Ta'ala. And not only in our spiritual matters, even in our worldly matters for that matter. Each day we are doing something, we need to do something, we need some benefit, we need to stay from some harm. So we will do whatever we need to do as human beings. But we put our trust and our faith and confidence that I am leaving this now in the hands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So if a person got that quality, no matter what situation comes, whatever, he is fully convinced that I am doing this and I am placing my trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it must come from the heart. It is called i'timad. So if a person has got confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then only will he carry out all the ibadat properly. Because the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are given by Allah, and a person knows that when he does it, these are the promises of Allah. Whatever Allah has given him to do, he is going to do it. And he places full confidence, I'm not going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why for Fajr namaz, you've given 4 rakats, or 2 for us. And why for Maghrib, you've given 3, such an odd number. No questions asked, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And every other command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does it with full confidence, knowing that this is from Allah ta'ala. The same with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We speak about the 99 names. Those 99 names are not just names. I mentioned in the other previous talk also. These are names that are the qualities and the characteristics, the mercy and the operation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this earth. So if a person believes in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he has got confidence, he says, that is the name of Allah is Al-Hafiz. I got no problem. Allah is Al-Nasir. Allah is Al-Raziq. Allah is Al-Razzaq. Whatever it is. He's got confidence in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he doesn't have any kind of doubt about it, because that is the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing when it comes to his du'as. When a person picks up his hands and makes du'as, he has this confidence that Allah is listening to my du'a. And that is the first condition for du'as to be accepted. To have this full confidence that Allah is listening to my du'a and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer my dua, obviously at the time when he wants to, but the person does not lose hope that I'm making dua so long, how come it's still not coming right? No, I got confidence, I've made the dua, because the first condition for dua to be accepted is that a person has no doubt. If you got doubt today, I'm making dua, I don't know if Allah will listen, if this is the right thing. Like he's putting doubt in his mind that maybe Allah is also not sure what must be for him. So he must have full confidence that my duas are going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I got full i'timad, I got full confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the duas that I'm making for him. Now we look at certain examples. Let us take the example of riba. Riba is usury and interest. Now the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stay away from riba. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, when a person consumes riba, riba wipes away deeds, wipes away a wealth, right? And if a person gives sadaqah, it increases his wealth. But what is the eye seeing? The eye is seeing that when he's getting riba, his money is increasing. And when he's giving sadaqah, his money is decreasing. But what his eyes are seeing, he doesn't worry about that. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreases riba. That means a person's wealth will go down and يُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. He will increase sadaqah. So that is how it is. The same with the issue of zakat. If a person gives zakat, I got full confidence in this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My wealth will be purified, and zakat means also the increase of wealth. So I have no question. When I'm giving zakat, whatever, 2.5%, it is such a big amount, it is not making my money less, it is going to only make it more, because I get confidence in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the examples. The same the ayat of the Quran we recited, where is the door of our rizq? The door of our rizq is in salah. Now if a person will read salah, because the ayat of the Quran is very clear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمُرْ أَلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ, command your family with salah. Wastabir alayha, yourself remain steadfast on it. La nas'aluka rizqa, we not asking you for rizq. Nahnu narzuquk, we are going to provide your sustenance. So the sustenance is linked to the salah. Now a person got that belief in his mind, in his heart, that my rizq is linked to my salah, he will never ever miss his salah. Not that he must read salah for the rizq, but it's a command of Allah Ta'ala. But his rizq, and he must have full confidence that when I read my salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deprive me. That's what we must teach our children also. Many of them, they are so in their own, you know, their own days. Everything is on the table. Once they leave the place, they go away somewhere else to go study or whatever. Tell them, don't miss your salah, whatever you are doing. Make sure you read your salah. Your rozi is linked to your salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ, your rizq is in the sky. Now what does that mean? We got confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will care and take care of our rizq. So these are some of the ayat of the Quran that we are just in front of us, that we have to have full confidence. Then, and obviously it's without seeing, without, we just accept it, finish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. You look at the example of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, they when they had their experiences, look at the confidence they had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam is being flung into the fire, but he got so much confidence that my Allah will save me. There's a narration that mentioned Malaika came to ask, can we help you, can we sort you out? And he said, Allah knows about you. He said, yes. He said, Paskaras, I got confidence Allah will save me. Musa alayhi salam, subhanallah, his mother, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, Uhina ila ummi Musa. Musa alayhi salam's mother, Allah Ta'ala told her, put your baby in the basket and put the basket for alqi fil yammi, and in the river. Now, who in their right mind will say, now, how can my baby be safe from Fir'aun when I'm putting this baby in another form of destruction? I mean, where's the river? Where the basket will go? It can collapse, it can fall over, the baby can fall out, something can happen, somebody can steal the baby, there might be some animal on the way, there's some other creature that might destroy my baby. Allah says, Inna radduhu ilayki, we'll return your baby to you. وَجَعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسِلِينَ, and we'll make your baby from among the messengers. Musa alayhi salam's mother didn't question, she put the baby in the basket or whatever container it was, and she sent the baby forward. This was the confidence that she had in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are a lot of different examples we can speak about the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, and how they had their confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing the work of da'wah. He was at all times faced with danger and hazard, because the enemy were out for him in different ways. They were plotting, planning, they even attempted to kill him in so many ways. But he continued, Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas. Allah told him, you, Allah will protect you from the people. So he had confidence in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find that the Sahaba, what confidence they had in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's an incident that happened very long incident, I'll give very briefly, that when the occasion of the conquest of Makkah was about to happen, the Sahaba came to know about it in close quarters. One Sahabi by the name of Hatib ibn Abi Balta, he was in Medina, his family was in Makkah. So he wrote a letter to his family in Makkah that, listen here, there was going to be a conquest of Makkah. Make sure you take care of your things, this, that, and the other. Protect yourself because, you know, we, Muslim army is coming. He gave that letter to one lady and he said, you give it to my family. Now, he didn't mean to spy. He didn't mean to sell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's secret out. He was doing it because he says, I got no family there. And, there's no one to protect them. So let me make some arrangement beforehand so that they take care. He was not doing it in any way to expose the plan of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to conquer Makkah. Allah Ta'ala informed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, you know what, there is a letter that is going out to Makkah, Mukarramah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, another Sahabi. He said, go to a certain place, at a certain well, there's a lady, she's carrying a letter, take that letter away from her. Finish. So they went, they accosted the lady, and they said, you got a letter with you. Where is it? Now, she didn't know what was the contents of that. All she knew was she had to deliver the letter. So she said, no, I got no letter. So they said, listen, yeah, they started searching up whichever way. Then Sayyidina Ali said, listen, if we have to strip you, we're going to take that letter out from you. So then she took it out from somewhere, according to one narration, somewhere she had it in her hair, bun or whatever it may be. She took it out, she gave it. Now, when they could not find the letter on her, they could have gone back. But Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said she got that letter, whether we can find it or not, she got it. So they made sure they got that letter out from her, you see. So this is confidence again in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One Sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he complained. He said, no, my brother, he got a problem with his stomach. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give him honey. So when the man consumed honey, his stomach got worse next day. He came back, he said, my brother's stomach got worse. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, give him some more. Now, in our case, they say, you know, the honey, ladies especially say, you know, the honey is a bit heavy, don't give more honey now. It's causing the child's stomach to run more. Now, we don't know. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give some more. Third day, he came, same thing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give, he's still running, give him some more. Then on the fourth day, he came, he said, it got sorted out. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that, you know what? The words of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is fihi shifa'ul linnas. There's shifa in this particular thing. So therefore, that could not have been a sickness. It was working, you know, in a manner that benefiting your brother. You know, speaking about honey, and if one person who had real, what you call it, yaqeen in honey, was Nazir Karani's late father. Subhanallah, he and his belief about honey was extraordinary. He say, if you got a pain on your knee also, you put honey and you put a plaster on it and it'll get better. And that was his belief. And he was so confident about it, subhanallah. Whenever I think about honey, I always think about how. And he was sincere in his, what you call it, belief about the story with regard to the honey. So there are lots of other incidents we can mention here. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, when he was in his deathbed, he was a very sincere, very pious, very upright, very just Khalifa. But he lived a life in which his children, because of his Khilafat, lived a very difficult life. He took nothing from the state. He was a very rich man before that. But when he became a Khalifa, he gave everything up. The children, days of Eid, they would have nothing. The daughters would have no clothes to wear. Then there was no proper food. They used to be just given little to eat. And he used to cry, he should say, you know what, I'm a Khalifa, I cannot use the things, I'm sorry, please, the children also should just understand. He's on his deathbed. One person comes and tells him, Khalifa, the previous Khulafa, you know, they left behind for their children so much of property and this and that and that. What have you left for your children? He had 11 sons from three wives, but 1, 2, 3, not like 3 at one go, like how we would like to have. Three, one passed away, another one. So he had 3. So, He got cross, he was in his deathbed. He says, it is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we give our children proper upbringing and we ourselves, Allah will take care of them. When he passed away, They were looking for governors in 11 different provinces or districts, and the only capable persons that were available were the sons of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh. So look at the i'timad he had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care if you brought your children up with proper upbringing. So there are lots of other examples we can give. We will just conclude. So how do we inculcate this i'timad, this belief of confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So first of all, we train our hearts in believing the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all matters are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the result of that is also in the hands of Allah. If it's from Allah, the result will also be good. That's the first thing. Let Allah ta'ala decide about it. Don't worry anything else. Number two is believe that all benefit and all harm is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three is take use from the material things. In other words, use the means, but do not ever make the mistake of thinking that the means are going to have this result. You know, don't have confidence in the means. Whether you're taking a doctor's medication or whether you're doing anything else for that matter, these are means. Confidence is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's a very important point also for us to keep in mind. And all this, like we mentioned, we will get it through the ma'rifat of Allah. So ma'rifat means the recognition of Allah, the lesson we did about 2 or 3 weeks ago. If we recognize Allah, if we improve on that, then we will have confidence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't recognize Allah, a person will turn away and say, what are you talking about? Have trust in Allah and have confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ayat of the Quran which we have been taught, you know, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for us and is the best of disposer of affairs, wakil. The man who is a problem, we run to the wakil. Don't go to that lawyer. That lawyer, he has won every case, mashallah. So we go to him. So we got so much confidence in the wakil. Allah is the best of, ni'mal wakil, the best of disposer of affairs. I won't say Allah is the best lawyer because sometimes you can't use the word lawyer. Notice stories about lawyers, Abdul lawyers sitting here. Okay. Then, other one, alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. Allah says in the Quran, is Allah not sufficient for his servant? Have that in your heart that Allah is sufficient. I've got full confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for me. Wa ufawwidhu amri ila Allah. I hand my matter over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the full confidence that now He will take over from me. I'm not going to leave it. How He does it, whatever, I'm going to leave in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another quality of, you know, getting the closeness, the recognition of Allah ta'ala to create the tawakkul and yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'timad, Arabic word. We'll continue. أفضل الذكر فاعلم أنه لا إله